Hello, my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, joined today with the T-shirt pusher peddler himself, Adam Stoker. How are you, Adam?
Stuart, I got to see today for the first time the T-shirt that I was giving out at Esto in the wild, showing up on our show. I got to say, I'm doing pretty good.
That's exciting. And the person that is wearing that shirt is a returning guest, Caleb Sullivan. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good. I feel like you're vying for the number one Desti position, man. You comment on all our episodes. You've now been a twice appearance guest. I mean, I think it's tough competition.
Yeah, I think I got to knock Emily off of her post there from being the most listened to. I think if we combine this one and my first one, maybe I can dethrone her.
We'll see.
You are cooking books. I will tell you this: Emily may be dethroned by Dan. I think he's getting close, man. Within one or two episodes or one or two listens.
I will say Dan's got a built-in user base, and so we'll keep an eye on that. But Emily talked about I guess that was on CMO Jam. So never mind. I'm not going to share what Emily talked about, but Dan's got a big built-in base with all his team members, and so maybe he was stacking the deck a little bit.
Indeed. But we don't just have Caleb here today. We got his protege, his Padawan. I don't know what to call him, but Tyler Ford is with us. And you are not from the industry, so folks listening probably are not familiar with you. But Tyler, welcome to Destination Discourse.
Oh, thanks, Stu. I appreciate it. Excited to be here. It's one of my favorite podcasts, despite not being on this industry. So thrilled. It's going to bring some supply chain experience, some new perspective. So excited for this.
And you're currently in the automotive industry, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's a blast.
Adam, who would have thought we appeal to the masses? Not only are we appealing to destination marketers, we're appealing to folks in the automotive industry and beyond. So
listen, what I'm about to say are my words, not Tyler's. Okay, but the first 5 years of my career were in the automotive industry doing advertising for automotive. And I got to say that after 5 years of doing that, I was frantically trying to escape. And so I don't know where Tyler's at on that spectrum, but I can see why someone from the auto industry would be like, oh, tourism sounds amazing.
Yes, and I'm not going to lie to you. It's quite different. Honestly, tourism, it's so exciting, and I just got so much information in my head about this stuff, but it's really building up to something cool. So excited to get on into this.
Well, tell me this, Tyler, does the automotive industry, does it have their equivalent of Destination Discourse? Is there a podcast that you listen to that is as entertaining as this one?
No, there's no entertainment allowed in the automotive industry. So it's a strict, serious culture. No windows, no fun.
Wow. Well, we like to have fun here. And speaking of fun, it's that time.
It's that time.
I mean, Caleb is rocking the shirt that literally says Stu's News jingle is a banger.
It is a banger.
And we'll get to hear it right now whether or not that is true. So here we go, Stu's News.
Come on, Stuart. Trump dance.
Good. Caleb. Man, you are rocking it, and you too. This is amazing. Arms in the air.
Never gets old, y'all.
Thank you, Caleb.
I've never seen the graphic before either. Like, so I've honestly never watched this show. I've only listened to it on Spotify. So, like, this is exciting for me. It's all brand new. Like, new graphic to go with Stu's News.
Love it.
How do you like the fact that it says Stu's News and not Stu's News on the graphic? It's amazing.
I didn't even catch that. So.
Good old AI.
It took me like 12 episodes to figure it out, but now people are pointing it out.
That's awesome.
But now here we are, 50 plus episodes in, and I got to tell you, Adam, it's growing on me. I mean, I can't lie. Like, I've been a hater for so long.
Yeah.
But I go to sleep thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. Like, it's all I can think about is this jingle.
If we ever do a new jingle that replaces this one, I think you're going to be really sad, and probably more sad than me.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably lose half the audience. I mean, that's the only reason they listen, really. Certainly not for the banter. So let's talk about Stu's News today. So I don't know if you guys saw, but Vegas, I think they launched their 60-second spot around the time NFL season kicked off. But they've got kind of leaning into this, the fabulous Las Vegas kind of concept, and really getting back to the glitz and the glamour of what Vegas has been about. But I thought that campaign was pretty neat. I thought they did a good job entertaining with the at least the video content. But then they came out with this other campaign, which is 5 days of fabulous Las Vegas. And it was from September 22nd to September 26th, where they did deep discounts on a lot of things. It was like up to 33% off of your hotel stay. It was 50% off on some attractions and shows and food and everything. And it was like, you know, kind of their version of Prime Day, kind of their version of a Black Friday, but they're trying to own it, right? Their own thing. They call it fabulous. The 5 days of fabulous Vegas, I think, is what it's called. And I got to tell you guys, I got some mixed feelings about this campaign. I mean, I get, you know, we've all been reading about what a hard time Vegas has had. And a lot of that's outside of their control. A lot of that is a massive drop in international travel to the U.S., which they cannot control. I think a lot of it is economic driven. You know, it would be hard to not see Vegas as a luxury item.
Yeah.
For most people today, is that although 20, 30 years ago, that probably was not the case. They've really done a good job providing premium experiences from shows in sports and all this other, you know, and gambling. And they really had a hard time. I think if you look at any STR reports, they're sort of struggled more than most destinations this year. So to come out with this, which is hooked on deep discounting, you know, versus driving value, I've got to tell you, I got real mixed feelings about this. So I'm going to throw it to you first, Adam, then I'll let our guests have a little chime in. But what do you think about this campaign?
Yeah, I disagree with you on a lot of your analysis of why it's happening. I think this is a crisis of their own making, and I'll tell you why. There is not a destination in the world, maybe, that has more assets to build a community than Las Vegas does. Las Vegas was built on entertainment from soup to nuts, everything from the shows at night to the casino and the entertainment that happens in the casino. Even playing blackjack is a form of entertainment. There is a nonstop flow of entertainment to be had in Vegas, and they have kept that entertainment in Vegas. And there has not been one of the things that I really worry about with destinations in general is I think success is a terrible teacher. And destinations that have kept their hotels full for years and years and years start to market like it, and they take the audience for granted. And this is why I think it's so critical to build a community instead of treating your audience like a transactional relationship. And I think Vegas has had such an opportunity over the last 10 to 12 years when times are good to actually take what they learned from the 2008 financial crisis, when Vegas also hit a major bottom, and to take all the things that happen in Vegas and make it fabulous, which I like the messaging of their campaign now, and use it to build a community that they can lean on when times change. I've talked a lot on this show about the difference between hunting and farming. And when you build your entire marketing structure on hunting, when it comes time that there's no more deer to hunt, if we're going to continue with the analogy, farming as your backup has to be there. And if you haven't farmed for the last 10 or 12 years, you end up in a crisis where Vegas, who currently is saying they're the most fabulous destination in the world, is also saying we're going to give you a massive discount and we're going to devalue the quality of our product just to get bodies in the door. And I don't think you can have it both ways. And I think every destination needs to look at this and say, am I farming? Even if things are good right now, even if my hotels are full, am I building for the future? And if you're not, then I think you could end up in the same situation as Vegas very easily.
Yeah, and I'll kind of play into that. I wouldn't say pushback would be the term, but at what point do you think that Vegas's audience views that destination as transactional? Is that a two-way street, right? Like you go to Vegas for like a bachelor party, or you go to Vegas to, you know, the old tagline, what happens here stays here. At what point does the actual audience see Vegas as transactional and say, yeah, one and done, been there, done that? And possibly that coupled with some of these external factors that are out of their control, is that part of what they're seeing? Or in your eyes, is that something you think that they're dealing with too?
Absolutely. But what I would tie that back to is the messaging. Even the message that was so viral for Las Vegas of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas positions it as a one-time experience.
Gotcha.
And so from a branding perspective, the structure of that relationship, you're right. It is viewed more as like a one-time thing or a once in a very blue moon thing, right? But that has more to do with what Vegas did from a positioning and messaging standpoint than it does that it's the audience's fault that they view the relationship as transactional. Sure. To be fair,
they quickly got away from the what happens here stays here kind of mantra, right? Because they realized that the challenges that created. And I think they've done a phenomenal job in product development over the last few years. Like the fact they brought in all the professional sports teams, I think was genius leaning into the entertainment. I don't know that I agree with you, Adam. I feel like casinos have done a better job than any other industry at building relationships with people based on incentives and collecting data and knowing your habits and offering, you know, specific exclusive value and things like that. So I think there's a lot of people that see Vegas beyond a transaction. They see it as an experience.
Are we talking about
form of entertainment.
The destination or the casinos, though, right? Like I'm thinking the DMO specifically and the role of the DMO.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know that I agree. I feel like you're giving a lot of heat to them because they've also done a lot of great things like bring in world-class events there, whether that be Formula One, whether that be WWE. Your WrestleMania was there this past year. So I don't know, man. I think you're sort of asserting that there's causality here beyond the external. And I think when you couple lack of international travel with the economic pressures, with also the fact that things like Doge and in general boondoggles and conferences, like a lot of their business has been conferences or at least propped up from conferences. And so I don't know that they tactically made an error until we get to this campaign. And this is where I'll let you guys weigh in is, are they sacrificing the long term for the short term specifically with this campaign? Because it seems to me that if you're looking at selling Vegas on being fabulous and you got things like the Sphere, this like unique experience that no one can get anywhere else, you got world class shows and all this stuff, but then it's like, oh, now we're on sale, an almost fire sale. To me, that those are two competing messages that are going to cheapen the brand, lower the value that people see in it. And so that's where I have concerns.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, there's kind of two sides to this. And part of what Tyler and I are here today to talk about is kind of DMOs taking ownership over their brand. And their brand is actually the product that you're delivering. And I think we would all agree with that. I think they have seen a situation where they're seeing this decline in visitation. And I would even say they've done a good job of trying to solve the immediate issue. However, to your point, does this cheapen the value overall? Does this cheapen the experience in the long term? That's where there could be an issue. So I agree that they are, in theory, cheapening their brand or lessening the experience that they're providing by doing these discounts. However, I will say the fact that they've seen this issue and they're trying to curb that issue for their stakeholders is a good thing. When I was on the DMO side, we would extend discounts and offers in our shoulder seasons. But again, we were a seasonal destination. So, winter months were slower for us. And that was a lever we pulled, right, to put heads in beds, which is part of our charge as DMOs, which is obviously an important element of what we do. But they're in a unique situation is that it's not a seasonal decline. It's an economic downturn. It is, the visitor experience changing. Someone's been there once. They don't want to go back, things like that. And then obviously that coupled with their brand messaging previously. So I think it's a lot of things. I think it's on the DMOs to see when they need to pull those levers. But did they pull them correctly here? I don't know. I'll kick it back to you guys.
Yeah, time will tell. Yeah. I know, Tyler, this is a sort of different industry than you're used to, but you have anything to add to this conversation? You want to disagree with Adam?
I thought part of it was actually pretty cool. First, I remember watching the ad. Well, I was watching the Birds beat some Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. So go Eagles. Plug for the Birds. Second, I like the fact that it felt like Fabulous Vegas viewed they weren't focused on the brand Fabulous Vegas as much as the Las Vegas as the product. And that's a large part of what Caleb and I are here to talk about today, is just viewing your destination holistically as a product. And then after that, figuring out how to shift your mindset in problem solving for that product. The Prime Day sale vibe of it, I wasn't a fan of that. I do think that was not the right call. It did cheapen Las Vegas to me, but overall, like, this is my first exposure to Fabulous Vegas, actually. So I looked at it like, oh, cool. I like how they're working with the airport, and I like how they're, it seems like it's not just the DMO. They're not just focused on how successful is Fabulous Vegas. Their success is based on Vegas. So I do like that mindset.
Yeah, and I do want to acknowledge that it's possible this is a really smart strategy, right? Because we might be looking at it on the surface and they might be playing 4D chess with us. Because one of the things this flash sale did, right, it was a 5-day sale, certainly wasn't going to reach everyone, but now they've gotten a lot of earned media out of that, right? That, like, we're talking about it, and not that we have a humongous audience, but I've read several articles about this very thing, right? So now, is it just a way to really get the message? Is it a tool to deliver the message of Fabulous Vegas? If that's the case, and they're just doing this flash sale once, and it's a catalyst to get Fabulous Vegas out there, it might be super genius.
Yeah. And my first takeaway was not the Prime Day sale. My first takeaway was, oh, this Vegas is, they're doing something. They're pushing. Okay.
Yeah, they're solving an issue.
My first response to this, yeah.
Yeah, it's a response to a challenge, right? And I'm sure they're getting a lot of heat from their stakeholders. They're the most well-funded DMO in the U.S., probably the world, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So there's a lot of pressure on them. They got to fill up a lot of hotel rooms.
Yeah. And there was one point, too, that I think we can touch on, was the local involvement. So they also had deals and opportunities for local residents to have experiences. I can't remember to the extent of which, since I've seen the article, but I think that engaging your residents, I mean, as you guys know, that is half our audience, right? Like, we want to make sure to keep our residents happy and provide quality of life. I think that was another unique lever to pull. Like, hey, we've got all these people that live here. Let's invite them to the party. Let's give them these unique experiences as well.
Yeah, no, great point. It'd be interesting. I don't know if any other destination could do what Vegas has done, be able to sort of align all these stakeholders behind something like this. So I'll be completely transparent. I found out about this through one of our stakeholders. You know, obviously, a lot of destinations have struggled this year, and they actually came to me and said, hey, what do you think of this? Is this something we should try? And so that's how I was first aware of it. Mm. So I'm sure Vegas had some stakeholders that were putting pressure on them to do something, to react to the situation, whether they're in control or not. If you're down 20% or 12% or whatever you are as a business, you're gonna want to see some change. So
I will say the earned media value that you communicated, you changed my perspective a little bit on that, because there's so much value today in earned media, and I think it's going to continue to increase in value. Doing something like this for 4 days, and in exchange for it getting millions of dollars worth of earned media value, I can see the value in that for sure.
If that was the deliberate strategy, it's smart. It might just be a happy accident. You know, we don't know.
And if anyone from
Vegas is on here, on listening to this, we'd love to have you come and talk about the campaign and its performance and the inception of it. Like, it's fascinating to me, because I think for years we as destinations, we've tried to get away from these fire sales and discounts, because it's just not long-term healthy for us. So I'd love to get more insight into it.
Rather, come get mad at me. Stuart would love nothing more.
Yeah. I mean, I need someone to be mean to Adam, because it's getting boring for me. So, all right, Caleb.
Yeah.
Tyler, let's jump over to your show. Tyler, I think you did a good job sort of correlating what you're about to talk about with what we're talking about with Vegas. Because, you know, increasingly we're looking at our brand is not just us, right, as a DMO or even the destination. It's the sum of the experiences that people have with all of our stakeholders and entities within our destination. And I think that's part of how you're looking at this, by bringing in your expertise from the automotive side, which there's a lot of really good books on supply chain and process and things on automotive that, you know, I know you're going to reference today that I've learned a lot from. So I'm going to hand it over to you and just where do you want to start on this?
Okay, well, first, I love that Vegas is doing something different. I also think that it might not be the best, but I like that they're at least making some sort of change when they saw there was a problem. And it'd be interesting to see how it does play out over this year and over next year. Like, did it end up actually, like, I think with the Cracker Barrel thing, for instance, how they, I know you guys talked about it in a previous episode too, like they clearly made that mistake, but then it, they turned back and went back to the old school Cracker Barrel logo and like, everyone's like, oh, congrats, you re-saved yourself. And like,
poor that, DHS.
Yeah, that poor negative, DHS. All that negative attention, they just turned it into, now that's just attention we got. Like, so we'll see how Vegas ends up doing this because they just got a bunch of attention. They got my attention for like the first time. And I was thinking about Fabulous Vegas prior to this, prior to even sending that that article around. So
I
think that's pretty neat. Yeah, so where to start with the tourism supply chain?
I think I'm going to take it back pretty far for you guys. So so Tyler and I have been essentially lifelong best friends. And when we graduated high school together, we both went off to college. I went through undergrad and got my first job at the DMO, Discover Jackson County. Now, when I was at Discover Jackson County, Tyler was in Louisville getting his MBA from the University of Louisville. And go Cardinals, I'm sure I should say. Yeah, there go we Cards. Go. Shout them out. And what was really cool was, and this is what kicked it all off, I was putting together my first board report ever for our DMO. So I had just taken over as a sales and marketing manager. And I was all excited. And I was on the phone with Tyler. And I was like, man, like, I'm doing all this great stuff. You know, we have all these social media impressions, vanity metrics, stuff that, as you guys both know, we're kind of trying to stray away from. And Tyler asked me a question that kicked all this off. He said, that is awesome. How did you actually impact visitation? And I was like, no. Like this is top of funnel. And you know, there's this marketing funnel and we're funneling people down. But he's like, no, like how can you actually prove that the social media that you're publishing led to real-time visitation? And that actually kind of sparked this, and this was right before, you know, kind of this influx of the Zardicos and the Adaras and Arrivalists. Like this was a few months prior to kind of that ramp up and some of the ROI attribution data that we have now. And so we've literally been on this quest. We talk on the phone several times a day. We talk about the DMO space, how it relates to what could possibly be a supply chain. And then we kind of coined this term. And Tyler, I'll kick it over to you to kind of just give us a high level overview and start diving into to what we believe.
And yeah, before you do that, so by the time this airs, you're going to have published this. Is that right?
Yeah, this will be live on, it'll be on Learn Tourism, their blog. It'll also be on LinkedIn as well. And you can find the original article on myself, Caleb Sullivan, and Tyler Ford's LinkedIn.
Great.
Yeah, so I love like attribution data. I think it's just so interesting, weird, right? But it started this like, oh, this is really cool. I see this gap though in this industry that I'm not a part of, and like I'm kind of following along as Caleb has been explaining different career struggles or career just projects along the way, and I've been like following along and I just find it so interesting that there's so much improvement that I think is really on the verge of happening right now.
Yeah.
This is prior to discovering your show. And then the Zeke Coleman episode on the show really kicked it off for me. Like kicked off this, oh my gosh, like I've already been wanting to get into destinations, wanting to get into the tourism industry. I love it. I find it so interesting and on the verge of such serious improvement. And then when Zeke Coleman talked about, you know, are you going to take the red pill or the blue pill? Are you going to shake things up? How are we going to improve attribution data? I was like, I'm all about this. Like that, here we go. That's what I've been saying since before I really knew what this industry is. So I think it's a big mental shift though, is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And that's part of where the whole tourism supply chain idea comes in. So what the tourism supply chain is, it's like a nice pair of glasses for you to look at your problems differently. You know, it's not like a magic bullet or whatever that fixes everything for you, but it's a visual shift. You can see problems differently when you view the totality of the product and all the little tiny links within the supply chain that make this product what it is. So
let's start for the folks that are listening at home that may not be so familiar with supply chain. Can you just do like a quick sort of 101 of what that looks like in your world, and then we can sort of jump and see how it translates?
Yeah. So what it would look like is you got, let's say, a brake part, and this brake part has hundreds of little mini parts, each sourced by different suppliers within it. And to create the brake part, there also has to be specialized boxes created for the brake part, which are also sourced by different vendors. And there's different codes that go into each tiny part to create this total product. And there's time frames in which material can come in and time frames in which it has to get out. But there's also inventory issues you have to be aware of. So there's just a million little mini problems constantly occurring that you have to have plans for. There have to be plans in place, aware that this problem might occur, and how are we going to make sure the customer still gets their parts, still gets their parts in the controlled packaging and to their quality standards on time, also without, you know, having too much inventory on hand or just dealing with new tariffs coming in or whatever it may be. So supply chain is
another way of looking at that, saying like it's looking at it, everything holistically from beginning to
very
end,
holistically,
very, very yes. beginning, whatever the process is, all the way through the end. And, you know, if we go back to one of our early episodes where we talked about the loyalty loop versus looking at a funnel, I would equate that to this in terms of we're looking at that entire customer journey and every touch point throughout, and how do we impact it? Where are the sort of potential failure points? Where are the challenges, opportunities, and how can we reduce friction? Is that what I'm
yes,
hearing?
Yes, it's a lot of that. A lot of just, and there's so many, many problems that you have to have just tools for root cause analysis, and then figuring out ways to be constantly improving. And that's really the foundation of what supply chain management is. It's just a constant improvement, because it just has to be. And a quote I like saying is, in supply chain management, the idea of that's how it's always been done, that's impossible. Like, you cannot have a mindset of, well, this is how it's always been done, because everything is just shifting so fast. You have to be so adaptable.
I thought that was the mantra of the destination marketing world. This is how we've always done
that's why we're here.
Draws me in. That's why I'm so excited, because I like seeing these. I don't know if I like seeing, but whenever I see an industry like this where it's like people kind of get in their ways, even though there's so much improvement to be had, it's like, oh, that's exciting. Like, how can you get it? How can I be a part of the group shaking this up? Because,
I want to just ask a couple of questions here, because if I'm listening as a destination marketing organization, I think the first thing that I'm thinking is, well, we do look at the customer journey, right? I think the other thing that they're going to be thinking is, well, how's this different than the marketing funnel, awareness, consideration, purchase? Stuart and I have talked about different expansions of that and different versions of that. And so I want to understand, and Caleb, maybe I'd love to have you jump in here, specifically from a DMO's perspective, why is looking at it this way versus all the other, I guess, past ways of looking at the customer journey? Why is this important at this time?
What I believe is most important is understanding that each customer is unique. One of the things that grinds my gears about, pun intended, automotive.
Nice.
What grinds my gears about the marketing funnel is we make a lot of assumptions, and you guys know this, right? Like, we're really hoping, you know, we're throwing out the net. We hope everyone comes, consider us. Adam, you always do a good job about talking about, like, we're asking them to marry us, you know, before we go on a date, essentially, like, you come visit us, book now, book now, book now. The way the supply chain views things is continuous improvement from consideration stage all the way to booking, and then loyalty and back. So essentially the way we're trying to look at things is, how can we make the experience for the visitor more efficient, more enjoyable, and start removing some of that waste, removing some of those issues that they may encounter along the way. Now, this kind of goes back to the fundamental semantics argument that we've had over the past 10 years. What does DMO stand for? Are we a DO? Are we DMMO? You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, at the end of the day, our brand is our product. And we have to start looking at our brand as our product, as opposed to, no, that's the hotel's fault. You know, okay, well, how can we help the hotel in wait times? How can we move the visitor journey the best we can to avoid busy restaurant wait times and lines? If a good example is, say we're a destination in Florida and we know that, you know, going from where I live in North Carolina down to Florida, you're going to get stuck in Atlanta and you're going to get stuck in the Atlanta traffic. So you're, you know, there are some things we can control. There's some things we can't, but can we tell the visitor, hey, maybe take this alternate route. Here's like a scenic road trip on some back roads, and here's a playlist to go with it. What are those levers that we can pull as the DMO to really contribute to the overall visitor journey and experience to create that loyalty loop, if you will?
So then, if I'm understanding correctly, one of the reasons you feel like this is such a critical thing for the industry is because in, say, the automotive industry or some other widget industry that has a supply chain associated with it, the constant desire is to shave non-efficiency throughout the supply chain. So yes, you can identify in step one that maybe you were buying the materials for $10. You found a way to buy those materials now for $9.90. Boom. Now we've got one place in the supply chain that's got more efficiency, right? And then the assembly. We had a manufacturer that we were using that would assemble the product in a certain way, and they would do it for $19. Mm-hmm. Well, now we found another manufacturer who will do it for $17. Am I thinking about like the chain of events correctly to be able to now apply this to the destination marketing space? Am I thinking about that correctly?
Yes. And it's really definitely, it's all about continuous improvement. And where are there inefficiencies? Like where can you be more efficient? Because no matter what, you can be more efficient everywhere. You just don't always know how.
Yeah.
And a lot of what this idea brings to the table is just little exercises, little ideas on how you get there. One thing that I bring up is called, it's a root cause analysis. It's called the five whys. It's where you just ask why five times in a row, and it really gets to the root of different problems. So using techniques like that, though, you can, oh, hold on. Maybe, like, for instance, with like the Florida example, like why is, I don't know, Myrtle Beach getting more people than here in Florida from this?
Because we're awesome.
Because they're the beach, obviously.
Well, yeah. One reason might be because they hate the traffic. Why do they hate the traffic? They're stuck in Atlanta for an hour. And then like, well, okay, now what can we do to make that experience in Atlanta something that they can even make part of their journey? Like, okay, well, they're aware they're going to be stuck in the Atlanta traffic for an hour, but like, let's make that fun. Like, let's make that part of our total experience of coming to this part of Florida.
Yeah.
But like,
could we partner with the Atlanta DMO to maybe do some kind of like sightseeing tour, like, hey, take a stop here. It's more of like, you know, problem anticipating issues before they arise.
Yep.
Working with other partners to solve them if you can, and really just having a holistic view of the visitor journey as opposed to everyone gets herded. And I always think of like sheep herding when I think of a marketing funnel, like everyone's kind of being herded into this funnel and we're like trying to get to the bottom. Well, how can we really inspire loyalty through doing everything we can to have the best visitor journey possible?
So one of the key differences, sorry, Stuart, let me wrap this train of thought and then I'll kick it to you. But one of the key differences I would say between like the automotive supply chain is that the efficiency we're looking for on that is almost always cost efficiency, right? But if we're looking at the destination marketing industry, it's value efficiency, not cost efficiency. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Almost. I will say definitely not always cost efficiency. A lot of the time, it's difficult to get things in. Because if you have a quick turnaround for something from China, and then you get new customer requests coming in that you hadn't already planned for, but now it doesn't matter what it costs. You got to get some special screws, some specialized magnets, for instance, from China, from wherever, in regardless of cost, so you keep your customer satisfied, or else they can go to a different supplier. So it is definitely cost efficiency, but it's also customer satisfaction. You know, we expedite shipments when if this is what it takes to make sure the customer gets what they're expecting from us, or we can exceed, not exceed expectations, but at least get them exactly what they know they need. The cost is gonna, it's about that over the cost of expediting material in. And I'd say that that kind of mindset also does need to be here in the tourism space. And yeah, I love the way of thinking like this, though, where you think outside the box, and just adopting this lens requires that. It requires just constant improvement.
So there's two sort of things I see as this being a shift from what the traditional thinking of is in DMOs. One is that sort of shift from the funnel, which I've talked a lot on the show about how much I hate the funnel. Like, the funnel is built with the assumption that there's attrition throughout, right? Like, the assumption is I'm going to get X people, I'm going to get X minus Y people at the next, and X minus Y minus Z at the next phase, right? So we're assuming automatically that the process is flawed and we're going to lose people. And so I think from shifting to that to one of a supply chain for individual people, where instead of us creating widgets, we're actually on a journey, a relationship with each individual person, and how do we map out that process and improve it? I think that's a shift that I welcome. Very similar to the loyalty loop that we talked about on the show before, but
yeah,
I like that. The other thing, though, which I think may be more profound, and it's where I'm spending a lot more of my time thinking, especially since I shifted from CMO to president of a DMO, is expanding your purview, right? So you're thinking about every factor within the supply chain, which includes your providers of material, it includes your labor, it includes like safety and standards, and ultimately whatever contributes to the outcome, right? And so for a DMO, I think what we're increasingly thinking about is how do we impact the actual experience? How do we control the product? Well, not control, how do we influence the product? How do we influence training, certification, workforce? How do we shift people to different times of the year? How do we bring in more product? Like, there's a lot of factors that go beyond the DMO brand that are now, we consider our brand as Myrtle Beach. It's not the name of our organization. It's not even the name of the destination. It's the sum of all the experiences people have when they're here. Because ultimately what we want is people to come here and spend as much money as they can comfortably, have an amazing time, leave wanting to come back, but also leaving wanting to tell all their friends and family about the amazing time they had. If we can do that, we create a flywheel, which is unstoppable. And I feel like that's part of why we've been successful in Myrtle Beach, is because people do tend to want to come back and tell their friends. So us sort of just expanding the aperture a little bit, changing our purview as a DMO and saying, hey, we are responsible for we should be reading the reviews of people that come and stay in our hotels and understanding where the problems are and having conversations with our hoteliers about that. Like, how are we going to address this? What can we do to support that? To me, that's where this thing sort of makes an impact. And I will say, and I'll let you guys react, there's a really cool case study. There's a couple of books you should read. One is The Five Whys. I do agree with that. That sort of talks about the Toyota's process, right? I think it was the Toyota man, the folks making Toyota first came up with The Five Whys, which is a phenomenal book. But I'd also go read anything you can on Sir David Brailsford. And he is a guy that coined the term marginal gains. And so the short version of the story is the British cycling team were terrible for decades. Like, my entire youth growing up, they didn't win anything. And then this gentleman called David Brailsford, who since was knighted because of the work he did, turned them into the dominant force in cycling for several years. And it was through this process of marginal gains. So he looked at everything as a supply chain and said, at every step in the process, how can I move the needle 1%, just a marginal gain? And that's from like the tread of the tires, to the nutrition of the people, to the clothes they wore, to the sleeping habits, to even to where they did things to stop the cyclists getting sick, you know? So they looked at everything that could be an external factor and mitigated the risk. and gradually 1%, 1%, 1% improvements led to them dominating the world of cycling for like a decade. It was amazing.
And I love that you brought up the 1%, kind of like the famous athlete too says, I get 1% better every day. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really ties into this though, because everyone would agree that, okay, yeah, don't definitely want to get 1% better every day. Like, of course we do. We want to improve every day. But with this kind of thinking, you have to have a plan in place to make that happen. Like, so of course, yeah, of course you want to get 1% better, but it's just a cliche unless you've got a plan to do so.
Yeah, so, I'll piggyback off of that. It's like if Tyler goes to his superiors and he says, guys, we want to get 1% better, but we can't. I mean, he's going to be out of a job. One of the things I've noticed, you know, every DMO is structured differently, but in my opinion, no matter how close or far we are from county government or a municipality, we are the one organization, in my opinion, that should always be pushing the envelope. Like, it's on us to really be creative, to be proactive, to be, you know, coming to the table with ideas that really move the envelope and push the needle. And I think that we as destination marketing professionals need to put that on our shoulders and say, like, we will do all we can to push the needle. We will always seek to be 1% better and have action items in place to get there.
So yeah. I've got a request for you guys then, for especially for our listeners that are wanting to take this from idea to application, right? Yeah. My request would be, obviously not everybody understands the supply chain concept, right? And those that haven't been in supply chain have some catching up to do. And so I would say if you guys could build some sort of a visual framework that allowed people to see what that looks like, but also to map it out for themselves. Because one of the things that I don't think you can optimize a supply chain until you understand all the different steps and key points in a supply chain. And so to ask people to optimize their supply chain today when they don't understand what it looks like, I think is a real challenge. So I think we're going to need a lot of help when you guys publish some of this documentation. I know that you will have just published in Learn Tourism, visual and practical application that gives us some guidance on building the supply chain for our individual destination.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. That's a fantastic idea. I can make sure that's get at least some steps of that on my LinkedIn prior to this is even prior to when you guys listeners are hearing this.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of it too. And to play on that, you know, we came to this with the concept, and I think we're literally live on air, you know, figuring this out. Like, there is more work to be done. There's more application to be had. And at the end of the day, what Tyler and I are here to tell you is, like, there are ways that we can get 1% better every day, right? Like, we all want to seek it. We all want to have improvements in our destinations and our processes. This is a framework or a paradigm to start kind of seeing that through. And understanding a supply chain is a helpful first start. So I appreciate that, Adam. That's a good first step.
I'd love to see your thoughts on what our supply chain looks like. Because a consumer travel journey, regardless of the DMO structure, is fairly similar, right? So I think you could you can apply a consumer travel journey into phases in touch points, and then you can start to look at where's the biggest opportunities. So we've never given a homework assignment to a guest before.
I think
we just did for the first time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm going to try it from now on. I think that'll be a new segment.
That should be a new segment.
Stu's News. Yeah. How about Adam's homework?
Adam's assignment. Yeah.
There you go. Adam's assignment. I love it.
Let's create a jingle for Adam's assignment. That's awesome. I love it. I love thinking differently. I love thinking from other industries, right? Manufacturing, especially whether it's automotive or any, the supply chain science has gone through so much rigorous analysis, and because it's something that's tangible and measurable and iterative, it's been perfected over the years, right? It's going to continue to be perfected, but it's like it really is down to a science. Yeah. And so taking the lessons learned there and applying it to our DMO world where we haven't applied that rigor and we don't have the iterative ability to do a lot of this stuff, I think is great. So I appreciate you, Caleb, bringing in an outsider to try to educate us humble DMOs. This is great.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's what it's about. It's about learning and improving. I mean, destination marketing as a whole, what we started back in the 60s with Detroit. I mean, we're still a relatively new industry. And we really do, you know, Tyler brings us up on our call sometimes, but we really are in kind of our early stages of evolution. So let's do everything we can to apply, you know, tested and proven processes to our industry. Where it makes sense. And every destination is going to be a little different. But I think this one size fits all approach of let's herd everyone into this funnel and then, you know, ask them to marry us and come visit us year after year. It is a stretch. And I think we can all work together to better that process. And that's why Tyler's here. So
Let me ask a quick question. If there's a DMO out there that wants somebody that understands the supply chain to come in, Tyler, are you like, are you available? Like, can we create a bidding war for you? Or,
I'm
what's
totally
the process?
Available. I would love. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to go talk to some DMO leaders.
Yeah, that'd
be fun, honestly.
Man.
I'd enjoy that.
Awesome. That's great. Well, Tyler, if they want to reach out to you, that is a great segue. How can they do that?
Tyler Ford on LinkedIn. Also, give me some good news.
Give me some good news.
Podcast.
Yep.
Featuring yours truly and Caleb Sullivan.
Yep. We are launching a podcast, and if it's bad, I'm blaming Adam because he told me, you know, in a conversation that it's something, you know, I should explore. So if it's bad, I'm blaming Adam. If it's great, Adam, you get all the credit. How about that?
I thought you were going to say if it's great, pitch. Give Stuart the credit.
Yeah, that'll work. What's the elevator pitch on the podcast?
Essentially what we're doing is we want to start off every Monday bringing some good news to the industry. So we're going to highlight hospitality heroes. We're going to highlight people who are exceeding in destination marketing, in career growth, in career trajectory. And we really just want to be there to like be ourselves, be authentic, to learn and to contribute. So give me some good news.
Nice.
Dropping on Spotify here in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, when it gets awesome. Live... Get me the feed. We'll get it automated on Tourism IQ.
Love it. Absolutely. Ooh.
That's awesome. Well, Adam, we're going to have some competition. We're going to have to up our game, man. There's another podcast that people are going to get to listen to in the industry. And clearly, they're smarter than us. They're going to be way happier than us. They probably won't pick on each other nearly as much as we do. So,
two American accents, I just don't know if there's a model for that.
That's true. You got a deep Southern accent here, too. So,
you need an Australian. That's what you need.
That's what we need. Yeah. That's what we need.
Got a friend.
And if you guys want to find me, it's I'm with Paradise Advertising. It's C Sullivan at ParadiseADV.com. And you can find us at ParadiseADV.com.
Great. Adam, they want to find you.
Yeah, guys, this was fun. Really enjoyed it. Adam at TheBrandRevolt.com. You can find me on Tourism IQ, of course, or on LinkedIn.
Great. And you can find me at Stuart Butler. On LinkedIn or Stuart.Butler at Visit Myrtle Beach. We'd love to hear from you. This episode came about because Caleb and Tyler just emailed us and said, hey, we got an idea. What do you think? And we said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's come on and let's chat about it. So if you want to come on the show, just come with an idea, come with a hot take or a new approach. And we'd love to chat with you on the show. And please don't forget to leave a like, share, review, comments like Caleb does. If you hang out in the comments on Spotify, you probably can have a conversation with Caleb
You'll see me in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, you had a little
there.
Banter back and forth with some other testies. So it's
I gotta get
it's
in
nice
there.
Destination, gotta represent.
Indeedy. So thank you for listening, everyone. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody.
Funny, so for our podcast, I actually played the intro music on my ukulele. So we'll see how that goes.
Neat.
Yeah, it's
you should do a version of Stu's News with your ukulele.
That, sure. Okay, now we're talking.